Four-man rush. Rodgers to the end zone. And Wilson. Can he one-hand it and stay in bounds? They say he was out. Out. Lassiter covering on the play. Almost a catch for the ages.
Yeah, the only, he's going to go for the pin. The only chance would be the knee if it came down. He has the ball. What a catch. Waiting for that other foot, just doesn't get down. The knee is close. That's what the crowd is reacting to.
What a grab, though. One-handed.
That, oh, my gosh. Ridiculous catch.
The play clock is running.
And that maybe the shin?
Yes, the shin did get down Kirk Herbstreit, so that's a catch for Garrett Wilson and the New York Jets victorious last night over the Houston Texans. Houston at 6-3 now falls below the Steelers in the AFC standings. And the Jets at 3-6 can continue to pretend like they're relevant and in this thing, even though I don't think they are. It does make me feel a little bit better about the Steelers' win over the Jets a couple of weeks ago. Russell Wilson puts up 37 points. Meanwhile, C.J. Stroud, who last year was the hot young thing, God's gift to football, he goes 11 out of 30, gets sacked 8 times, thanks in part to Kendrick Green blocking for him. You want to get your franchise quarterback killed? Have Kendrick Green block in front of him. The hell are they doing? I'm not a huge Texans believer. They have not looked anywhere near as good, I don't think, as they were last year. Injuries have had a lot to do with it. Stroud's not pushing it down the field as much. Stroud is averaging about 30 fewer yards per game through the air than he was last season when he had about 270 yards through the air a game. They're at 240 now. So I'm feeling pretty good about the Pittsburgh Steelers today. We'll get into them a little bit more coming up in the next segment. Right now we are joined by Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports to get into the other big matchups of the weekend. Steelers off, so we'll get into some of the bigger NFL games. Also two huge local college football games, and Lee's on with us right now. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning. Good morning. How was Halloween last night?
Oh, fabulous. Fabulous stuff. Do you miss Halloween with the kids?
Sarcastically?
No, seriously. I try to soak it all in, man. I got one who's 5. I got one who's 9 months old. And if you don't stop and look around once in a while, buddy, you might miss it.
Mine are 27 and 25, so I can certainly agree with you. It was sad for me. I mean, I think we had like maybe 18, 20 trick-or-treaters. That's it. We used to get 75 to 100, and now they go to more of these safe streets. And I used to, you know, be at home and dress up. We used to sit outside, and now just these kids go to these safe streets. And used to love walking around with my kids and watch one of my daughters eat half of her candy as she was walking around. But a little bit sad. But like I said, you got to soak it in. My only problem is I've got like 12 pounds of chocolate, and I ate probably 2.5 sweating up the Jets game last night. I don't know if I'm going to make it through the weekend. I can't eat, you know, 3 or 4 candy bars a night.
I know. I told my wife, hide them, not from the kids, but hide them from me, because if they're sitting around, I'm going to eat them. And to your point about your daughter always eating half the bag, my daughter, one house in last night, she's jogging to the next house while opening a Reese's.
Right,
so,
right. Mine's the same way. Wanted to see how much she could get, but ate a whole lot. Now, what's your favorite?
Reese's. Reese's, I think, sits in a tier all on its own, I would say. What about you?
So Baby Ruth is number one for me. I always, for some reason, love Baby Ruth. And also Snickers. But I have to say this, 100,000 grand is an underrated candy bar.
I would agree with that. I'm also a big Baby Ruth fan.
I don't get why everyone loves Twix.
Hate the Twix.
I mean, it's okay.
They're terrible.
If I'm going to have chocolate, overrated. I want all chocolate. I don't want to say, I'm going to be kind of healthy and I'm going to have a Twix. If someone tells me their number one candy bar is Twix, I'm like, do I really want to be friends with this person?
I'm with you on that. Baby Ruth, the way to go. Speaking of Baby Ruth, Louisville Sluggers. Speaking of Louisville Sluggers, Clemson -10 against Louisville Bank.
So what we've got now is, I think, even though Louisville came back and won last week, I think you're going to see some guys buying out. Lacy, their best receiver, Colin Lacy, he decided, I'm going to redshirt now. I played my 4 games. Come back next year. I just think that they're going to have a tough time with this Clemson running game. Clemson can run it right down your throats, and they've done it. They've gained at least 194 yards in five of the last six games. Cade Klubnik, I think he is who a lot of people had hyped him up to be. Finally, 20 touchdowns, just two interceptions since that Georgia debacle in season one. And the Cardinals' defense allowing almost 5 yards per carry the last four games here. So how about this? They're also 88-5 straight up since 2011 in Death Valley. So if you're playing Louisville just looking for a backdoor cover, I suggest don't try it. I like Clemson here, 38-17.
All right, one of the two massive local matchups here, Ohio State going to Happy Valley, a three-point favorite. Some weirdness going on with the Penn State quarterback situation. Yep. Who do you like in this one?
So I've gone against James Franklin for a long time in big games. I mean, he plays tight. But some things changed. Now, in the game a couple weeks ago against USC, they were down two touchdowns at half. I thought their defense made some really good adjustments in that game. And Ohio State is probably as similar to USC as you're going to see. They throw the football. They have really good receivers on the outside. And Penn State did a great job in the second half on the road. Now they get to play this game at home. James Franklin got an offensive coordinator from Kansas who was, I think, one of the top 5 to 10 offensive coordinators in college football. They are aggressive now. He will come with some different formations and some trick plays here. I know, guy. I know. I'm not a Penn State fan, but I think it's finally time. I just think Ohio State can't run the football now all of a sudden, down to a third-string offensive tackle. Judkins and Henderson only ran for 54 yards last week on 20 carries against Nebraska, and Penn State's front seven is much better here. Finally, James Franklin gets a signature win. Wrong team favorite. Penn State straight up 27-23.
Boy, how loud do you think it'll get for Ryan Day if that's the case? Two big games this year. He'd be 0-2 after losing the last couple against Michigan. I don't know that the seat should get hot, but I think the seat would get hot in that
circumstance. I agree. But two really tough games any team would have against those two opponents.
Yeah, and I think, too, I mean, if Ohio State were to lose to Penn State and it's a nail-biter, I still think Ohio State would have a shot to make the college football playoff, which is...
Oh, I think they'd be in. Yeah, I think they'd be in if they run the table and they just lose those two games.
Yeah, because you got Indiana coming up later.
They just can't lose by two touchdowns or more.
Right. Yep. All right, here's another one. Yep. I see. So you and I were texting back and forth earlier on in the week because I didn't really understand this Pitt line against SMU. Yep. And it was 7.5. It dropped down to 7. Now Jennings, we find out today, according to Pete Thamel, is going to play for SMU. And I just looked at this very second. SMU now an 8-point favorite. Yeah. What the hell's going on here, Lee?
I think Jennings is a decent quarterback, but he wasn't even projected to be the starting quarterback this year. He only played because their starter couldn't throw the ball from second base to first base. I mean, the kid just lost it. So I think because of that situation, I think these two teams, I don't see much difference. I really don't. So the results that happened last week in both games are crazy. I don't think we've ever seen a team come off a 6-turnover win. That is almost impossible. Has to be less than 1%. Maybe it's happened sometime before, but I haven't seen it. And then Pitt gets 5 interceptions, and, you know, they just kind of ho-hummed an easy win. Now, Pitt, almost every other game has been a one-score game here. Most of SMU's players at skill position are fine. But these kids, most of them, were backups at Miami. I mean, these guys will be playing second and sometimes third string. So I think SMU will be up for the game. I think they might hit on a couple big plays here, but I think the Pitt offense can move up and down the field also. I think SMU escapes 30-27, but I think the right side is take the 8 points here.
Sometimes when, and this is more of a philosophical thing here, you say you're going with Pitt and the points, like when you see something that looks so odd to you from a line perspective, I mean, do you almost think, like, I don't know?
Yep. Yeah, usually I either stay away or they're trying to beg you to bet Pittsburgh and you lose the game. So probably not a game I'm giving my clients, but I think the right side, as long as we don't see like a 3 or 4 turnover game, I think Pitt's the right side.
Kansas City a 9-point favorite against Tampa, and Kansas City doesn't really blow anybody out, Lee.
No. Fact, in going 7-0 this year, they've averaged winning by 7 points. That's it. They had one really good showing, and that was as an underdog against the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I know Tampa Bay's without their top two receivers, Evans and Godwin. Those two guys produce almost 1,000 receiving yards this year and 11 touchdowns. But Baker Mayfield leads the NFL, 21 touchdowns. He threw last week to 9 different receivers. They're going to play hard. The Chiefs 5-11-1 against the spread when laying more than 7 points. And how about this? Underdogs of 7 or more points are 14-6 against the spread this season. A lot of parity here. I think Kansas City wins again and moves to 8-0, but it's going to be just 27-20. So,
all right. And then Baltimore against Denver. Baltimore has already lost at home to Las Vegas. Baltimore loses last week to the Cleveland Brownies, although that was on the road. And now we're finding out Lamar Jackson a little nicked up, and they're a 9-point favorite.
Yeah. Who saw that? He looked healthy at the end of the game. But maybe got banged around a little bit. But still on pace to throw for over 4,000 yards and run for 1,000 yards. He'd become the first player ever in NFL history if that happens, if he's able to continue to play and play at this level here. I think Denver's defense is good enough. And then on offense, Bo Nix, last 4 weeks, 9 touchdowns, just 1 interception. Sean Payton putting him in situations where he can excel. And I just think that this Denver team is going to come to play, and also really good special teams. Another team that wins but doesn't have enough separation, Baltimore, 26-20. Grab the points in Denver.
All right, Lee, and then your free play. It's November. What is November? Because we just got done with Locktober.
November, of course. Got to be November.
And if I may, Lee, 5-0 last week.
Yep, 5-0, and we're rolling. 7 out of 9 winning weeks for our clients. So we won in September, won in October. Now, not November, November. Normally, it's $597. That's right, $597 for 5 weeks. Slash the price. How about this? $397 for 5 weeks of our phone service through the end of the month. You're going to get 30 straight days of football. You want to hop on board? Just go to the website, ParamountSports.com. There's a bunch of other big games. Georgia, Florida, Texas A&M, South Carolina, and also in the NFL, Detroit and Green Bay. You want to watch those videos, just follow me on YouTube at Paramount Sports or on TikTok at Paramount Sports, and got those videos up for you. So ParamountSports.com or call 800-400-9741. Start winning today.
He's the man. It's November. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. Thank you for your time as always. Enjoyable, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy. See ya.
See you. Lee Sterling. We were texting all week long about this Pitt game. All week long. Something's up. Pitt an 8-point dog. Like, I don't think SMU's a bad football team. I think they're a good football team. I think Pitt's a good football team. If you told me that Pitt was going on the road at Clemson and, you know, getting 8 points, all right. Going on the road at SMU, I know they've played well there, have the Mustangs. It's not an overly intimidating place to play. And this might surprise people, knowing my roots as a West Virginia guy, but I have a ton of Pitt fan friends who are going to this game. Like, I think there's going to be a ton of Panthers there. Your thoughts on that game? Give us a ring. Now, 1 hour. We got about 45 minutes left in the show. We're having fun here on a Friday. You want to talk Pitt-SMU? Would love to do it. You want to talk Penn State-Ohio State? Would love to do it at 412-928-9370. But I'm going to make a case coming up next why I think the Steelers are the second best team in the AFC behind the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it's a good case, too. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Blurred Lines, Robin Thicke. We've changed up the music around here. Or should I say Callis has, but positive response on the text line. People liking it.
Yay!
This is also one of the more lewd music videos you'll ever see. Have you seen it?
Sex.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who Emily Ratajkowski is?
No.
Google her. Keep safe search on, but Google her. Because in this video, it's Robin Thicke dancing around. And who's the guy who keeps going, woo?
Pharrell Williams.
That's right, Pharrell. So you got him, and you got Robin Thicke, and they're dancing around, and there's all these just half-naked ladies dancing around with them. One of the more sexually explicit music videos that you will see. It's good song, too. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us at underscore Adam Crowley, at Callis underscore 33. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I'm about to make a case that the Steelers, currently the second team in the AFC standings, are in fact the second best team in the AFC. I will do it. But first, Austin Bechtold, City Limits, as he's affectionately referred to on the Midday Show, Starkey Show. He walked up in here, he's got his Penn State shirt on, and it's the state outline of Ohio, and it says worst state ever. He's all gung-ho, excited about the game. He's going. He'll be driving up there tonight, hanging out. Says he doesn't drink before football games. If Penn State wins, he'll have a few after in celebration, but he does not drink during the games. I respect that. It's a business trip for one young Austin Bechtold. It's a huge game. It really is. James Franklin v. Ryan Day, and Ryan Day has been allergic to big-time wins. Lost to Michigan the last couple of years, just lost to Oregon this year, college football games, playoff games he has lost. So he's been allergic to big wins, except against Penn State. And James Franklin has won a lot of games, but recently has been allergic to the big win against Ohio State and against Michigan. So for both coaches, it's really important. It's important for the perception. It's important. But I contend the loser of this game, if it's a close game, still going to the college football playoff. Ohio State at 10-2. You think they're leaving out the Ohio State University at 10-2? I don't. Especially if they beat Indiana down the stretch, which they would have to do to get to 10-2. That's a quality win. Big Ten's got all this respect. SEC's got all this respect. I think Ohio State gets in at 10-2. I think Penn State at 11-1, they get in because they're a brand and because the Big Ten is a brand. So I don't view that game, apart from the narratives around both coaches, which I don't want to underplay, I don't view that game is as consequential for the college football playoff as Pitt SMU. If Pitt can beat SMU and find its way into the ACC championship game and win, well, of course, they'd be in the college football playoff. If Pitt loses to SMU, I don't think they're getting into the college football playoff. I don't think Pitt, even upon beating Clemson, if they were to do that later on, gets the same kind of brand, program recognition, respect as Ohio State, as Penn State. I don't think Pitt gets in with one loss. I don't think SMU clearly gets in with two losses. So SMU already having lost to BYU, they need to win the ACC to get in. So in terms of the college football playoff, both games are huge. The bigger game for the playoff, by far, no question, not opinion, this is fact, is Pitt-SMU. And we'll have it right here on 93.7 The Fan. Tomorrow, 8 p.m., pregame coverage starting at 5. You can listen on your Odyssey app. All right, to the Steelers. So last night, the Jets, they win. C.J. Stroud looks horrendous. 11 out of 30. Throwing the football. And with that loss by Houston, they're 6-3. The Steelers leapfrog them. They're the number two seed currently in the AFC. And I think they might be the second best team in the conference. You can't weave an argument to make me think anybody's better than Kansas City. I mean, shoot. They're vying to go to their fifth Super Bowl in 6 years. That has never happened before. They're vying for their third consecutive Super Bowl championship. That has never happened before. So let's put them to the side, and let's compare the Steelers to the Joneses in the AFC. The Steelers are flawed, no doubt. I also think they're good, because you don't view a team simply in a vacuum. You compare that team relative to the other quote-unquote contenders. The Steelers are good. They're 6-2. They have the second best point differential in the NFL. They're giving up the second fewest points in the league. Their offense is pretty much smack dab in the middle in terms of points per game. But with Russell Wilson, they've clearly been better. 400 yards in each of the last two games. They haven't done that since 2018. The Steelers are good. Their special teams are elite. the best in the league. They are flawed, however. Giving up 100 yards rushing three times, including to some guy whose name I already forget for the New York Giants, who went for like a 150 and 7.6 yards per carry. Steelers are also 22nd in the league in pass defense. They haven't played a murderer's row of offenses. On the offensive side, they're only converting 46% touchdown rate in the red zone. There's only four teams with a lower touchdown percentage. So yeah, the Steelers have their warts. The Steelers are not perfect. But here's what we do. We zoom in on our team. And we look at them and we go, oh, they can't tackle. Oh, they do this. Oh, they do that. And you might be right. But you just assume everyone else that's got a good record doesn't make mistakes, doesn't have flaws. We put our team under the microscope and we put all these other teams on a pedestal from afar. So, yeah, we look at the Steelers' flaws. Fair, they're flawed. Every team is except for Kansas City. I'm not considering them in this conversation. But the third team right now in the AFC is the Bills, and they've added Amari Cooper. They're very good. Of course they're very good. Josh Allen, he's thrown more touchdowns this year than the combined number of sacks and interceptions thrown. That number is 13, 17 touchdowns for Josh Allen. Last year, he was a turnover machine, and they were still good. This year, he might be playing the best football of his career. So they're a very good team. But people will knock the Steelers for losing to Dallas, for losing Indy, and I'm not saying you shouldn't. But you look at a team like Buffalo, and they've only played two playoff teams this year. The Ravens and the Texans, they lost both games. They got steamrolled by the Baltimore Ravens. Again, people say the Steelers have two bad losses. The Bills, if we were in a college football playoff committee kind of deal here, where we were determining the viability of the Bills, I don't know if you put them in the college football playoff, right? Because they beat all the bad teams. They played two good teams and lost. So they've got flaws too. People in Buffalo probably saying these kinds of things about that team. But we're zoomed out on them. We put them on a pedestal. The Texans lost last night to the bad Jets, and the Jets are bad. They were 2-6 coming in. Not a good football team, dysfunctional mess, fire the coach. You know all the reasons why they're a disaster over there. Well, the Texans lose to them last night. Their quarterback, C.J. Stroud, goes 11 out of 30, gets sacked eight times. They've got Kendrick Green starting on the offensive line. You want your franchise quarterback to not play 17 games? Start Kendrick Green for 17 games. Eight sacks they give up. And we talked about the Jets' pass rush. If there's one thing they could do, it was rush the passer. Steelers only allowed Russ to get sacked once. Houston gets him sacked eight times. Stephon Diggs is out for the year. The Steelers have the second best scoring defense in the NFL, 15th scoring offense. Houston is 17th in offense, worse than the Steelers, their defense 15th. That's a mediocre team right there, folks. 17th and 15th in points for and points against. So you compare them to the Steelers, Pittsburgh, a more well-rounded team. No doubt about that. You look at Denver, number 5 seed. Do I need to go into the reasons why the Steelers are better than Denver? They beat them with their backup, first of all. And a lot of credit goes to Sean Payton, or should, for the job he's done. I thought that team would win 4 or 5 games all year. Here they are at 5-3. Their defense is great. But look at Bo Nix's numbers. They're getting it done with smoke and mirrors. They're thinking about trading, for whatever reason, Cortland Sutton. They've gotten better. They're still not good. And then the Ravens are sitting there in the 6th seed. Their defense is the worst in the league against the pass. We could talk about the good things that they've done. Offensively, they're averaging over 30 points a game. They run the ball for like 200 yards a game. They throw it for over 200 yards a game. I mean, their offense is outstanding, and they just added Deontay Johnson. But defense might not win championships anymore in the year of our Lord 2024. You ain't playing for a championship if you've got the worst pass defense in the league, and they're 26th in points allowed. So I'm not making the Steelers out to be God's gift to football. I'm not here to tell you that the Steelers are going to win the Super Bowl or going to wind up in New Orleans for the Super Bowl or that they're going to beat the Chiefs. But if you move the Chiefs to the side, I think the Steelers have a legitimate case as the number 2 team in the AFC. How do you feel about them? 412-928-9370. We can talk about warts. They got them. I mean, I didn't even bring up their offensive line. I didn't even bring up their right tackle, Broderick Jones. Not good. Like, they got warts. They got flaws. All the other teams that you would compare them to in the AFC are also flawed, and I think maybe even more so. 412-928-9370. Do you think the Steelers are the second best team in the AFC? If not, what are you waiting to see? What do they need to show you? I'm curious. 412-928-9370. Would love to talk to you about this coming up next. Is this an original Harry Callis song?
That's right.
I actually asked that without knowing the answer, and I was worried that you were going to come back and say it was some. It was like Wilco or something, like some band that I love, some you know, platinum recording artist, and I was going to give you that kind of credit. But let me tell you, it sounds pretty good, man.
Thank you. This was the, if you bought the Five Alarm Marathon, the album at the Five Alarm Marathon,
yeah.
This is a Ron Cook rap break.
This is good. It's way good. We got a whole bunch of songs that are rotating through, and Callis, I think you have, what, five originals?
I have five originals spread out.
I mean, this could be baby-making music right here. I don't want to go too far with it. Maybe I already have. Maybe there'll be a bunch of babies in Pittsburgh in like 11, 12 months named Russell, because Russell Wilson is taking them to the promised land. I think the Steelers are the second best team in the AFC right now. Right now. Agree? Disagree? I think I laid out a pretty compelling case in the last segment at 412-928-9370. If you don't believe that they are, tell me why. What do you still need to see from them? And Brandon Phoenix is going to lead us off at 412-928-9370. Good morning, Brandon.
Hey, good morning, Crowley.
What's up, buddy?
So I would agree with the fact that I think the Steelers are the second best team in the AFC. I mean, even Kansas City has been proven that they're completely unbeatable. Mahomes is not playing great. He's turning the ball over. My only concern with the Steelers is that, yeah, we can sit here with the Bills and say they haven't beaten any playoff teams. I mean, the Steelers haven't beaten anyone super great, which is okay. You know, they played who they played and they've beaten who they've beaten. But at the same time, they're, what, two, maybe three plays away from being 8-0, and this is not even in the discussion.
Well, and here's the other thing, too, Brandon. Like, okay, they haven't faced a murderer's row schedule. That's undoubtedly true, right? But yep. The Broncos' victory is aging well. Atlanta's been a lot better since they played than when they played them. And the Chargers are 4-3, and they're vying for a playoff spot. Not to mention, Steelers have the second-best point differential in the AFC, and a couple of years ago when the Steelers were beating people and everyone was saying they haven't beat anybody, it's not sexy, point differential was the big debate point. Well, the Steelers are blowing out some bad teams now. We haven't seen that in a couple of years.
100% agree. And one of the best things is that their upcoming schedule is difficult, and hopefully we'll be able to see, especially with Russell Wilson. I think they're playing unbelievable, you know, two games in. I think I'm confident with them being able to put pressure on Jaden Daniels, and then we always know that Lamar Jackson is not great against the Steelers, and he might not even play with being banged up. So
yeah, he's banged up, and I think he's going to play against Denver this weekend, but he is banged up right now. Thank you for the call, Brandon. Has missed his last couple of practices. Wednesday was a rest day, and then Lamar Jackson didn't practice yesterday, and he had injury designation, so we'll see with that guy. Yeah, I do have questions about the defense. Jaden Daniels, big test, stiffest test to this point, you would have to say. Baltimore's offense averaging 30 points a game, stiffest test to this point. They had Deontay Johnson, their offense only got better. They got Cincinnati's offense to contend with, the Eagles' offense playing better, you got the Chiefs. So we'll find out about the Steelers' defense, but right now, I think they're as well-rounded as any team in football, the Steelers. And they've got different ways to beat you. When's the last time you could say that? Last year, year before, Kenny Pickett, got to be 16-13. Can he make plays in the fourth? Can he make plays on third? You need the turnovers. You need to find a way to run the ball. Now the Steelers top 10 in rushing. Now the Steelers under Russell Wilson. Longest, what is it? Highest yards per attempt in the NFL in 2 weeks with Russell Wilson. So they're throwing it down the field. They're running the ball. They're getting the splash plays on defense. Second most takeaways in the league. Second best turnover differential in the league. They can beat you on special teams. Their kicker's not going to miss. They're going to block kicks. They're going to block punts. They're going to get big returns. Like last week, they weren't playing a great football game. Calvin Austin turned it around. Week before that, weren't playing well offensively. Beanie Bishop turned it around. They're finding different ways to win. And I think some Steelers fans, and I hope this isn't a straw man, I think some Steelers fans having a hard time believing what they're seeing. They're expecting another shoe to drop. Now they're a complete football team. Jeff in Acme. Hello, Jeff.
I'm going to start where you ended. It is a complete football team. And the intangible this year is having a backup like Justin Fields. And I think that's what elevates them to being the second best team in the AFC. They have an option if their quarterback goes down. And that option is better than what Baltimore had if Baltimore's quarterback goes down.
They got the guy who's played on 100 different teams in his NFL career. I think Josh Freeman's the backup in Baltimore. Yeah.
So those are the intangible. As you said, there are multiple ways to win. There are multiple ways for them to secure victory. This team has an attitude that we haven't seen in years. They, in prior years, seemed defeated throughout the year when games would start going haywire. They just seem like they have that spark this year.
Well, you think about it from a defensive standpoint, Jeff, and thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. It had to have been infuriating to play in the Steelers' defense these last couple of years. Infuriating. Get stops, constantly on the field because they were 3-and-outing, not doing anything. Time of possession last year, real bad. One of the best teams this year in terms of time of possession are the Steelers. So the defense, they've leaked at times. They've given up yards at times. But can't you always sort of count on them making the big play? Maybe not always. Didn't get it against Dallas at the end. But that was more of an offensive performance failure, I think, than a defensive one. By the way, Baltimore's backup quarterback is Josh Johnson. I think I said Josh Freeman. Who cares? I am worried about the Steelers' wide receiver depth. So, like, they need a number two wide receiver just because they need a number two wide receiver. One thing that could really screw a lot of stuff up is if George Pickens were to go down due to an injury. You know, George Pickens goes down. Now Van Jefferson's your number one. I mean, that is concerning. So I worry about that. I do worry about what has to happen, or what would happen, I should say, if Russell Wilson drops back to throw traditionally, because you're trailing in a game. So 5-step drop, 7-step drop, no play action, not getting him on the edge, need your receivers to get open, need the offensive line to hold up. Like if you're down 3 and there's a minute 30 seconds to go and you got no timeouts, and you're on the road, can your offensive line hold up against the opposing pass rush to give Russell Wilson the opportunity? That I wonder. Texter, Kansas City's best win was 28-13 against New Orleans. I understand they beat Baltimore and San Francisco. They barely beat them. They barely even beat the Bengals. Yeah, I'm not doing it with Kansas City. Just I would never do it with New England. Everyone would always say the end of New England. New England's not playing well. They've been really bad the first month. They don't have the same punch. Yeah, they're New England. They're going to figure it out. Kansas City, they're figuring it out. I think their average margin of victory is like 7 points. They don't blow anybody out, but they win, and they're a two-time defending champion. So they don't look great. They're also undefeated. I ain't doing it with Kansas City. But if you're going for the best of the rest, yeah, I think the Steelers are right there. That's from Ski in Rochester, who says they love the show. Thank you, Ski. All right, this has been a fun one today. No Doran on Monday either. He'll be recovering from his trip out to Dallas. We'll pick the Pitt-SMU game. We'll pick Penn State and Ohio State coming up next. Also, social media's Biggest Loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Oh, yeah. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Callis, you're going to be off all next week. First time you've been off since becoming the full-time producer of The Morning Show. Well-deserved.
I've never been more excited in my life.
I'm happy for you. Dorn will be out, so it'll just be me, my God, on Monday. And I believe, Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers.
It'll be him and Charlie Borges.
Let's go. Two for the price of one. All right, social media's Biggest Loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, is Mike Tannenbaum, who on ESPN's Get Up proposed one of the most unrealistic trades I've ever seen, and there's a reason why the guy's no longer an NFL GM. He says the Lions should trade for Myles Garrett. That much, yeah, we all agree with that. They're competing for a Super Bowl, and they lost Aiden Hutchinson. But he thinks the Browns should ask and receive from the Lions 3 first-round picks, a second-round pick, and, oh yeah, by the by, Jahmyr Gibbs. Let's take the starting running back, take 3 first-round picks, and a second-round pick. And the name of the segment is Who Says No? Anybody who watched that should be ashamed of themselves. Anybody who was a part of it should be ashamed of themselves. That show has descended into total nonsense. Not to be critical. All right, two big college football games this weekend. Penn State, Ohio State. James Franklin can't win the big one. He will. He's getting it done. I don't think Ohio State can block Penn State up front. Will Howard's got to get out on the run. He's Ohio State's quarterback. That offensive line's in shambles. Their left tackle's been hurt. Their left tackles have been bad. I think Penn State's front will be disruptive enough. Ohio State struggled with Nebraska last week. Nebraska's not a bad football team. They're also nowhere near as talented as Penn State. The one thing I'm having a hard time with, though, is that James Franklin tends to overthink these games. I think they're talented enough to target the weaknesses on Ohio State. I think Penn State wins in a squeaker in Happy Valley, and Penn State fans are jumping for joy, and Austin Bechtold will get very drunk in Happy Valley on Saturday evening. As for Pitt-SMU, I don't have a feel. I don't have a feel. My feel was Pitt's a better team. And so Pitt, even going on the road, you go win the game. You know, SMU's not a great passing team. I think it's tough to run against Pitt. I think Pitt's defense and their linebackers have been great the last 2 weeks. I always sort of assumed they would get better due to Pat Narduzzi. So that's what my head's telling me. But then you also think, why the hell are they an 8-point dog? So what's Vegas telling us? I thought it was, okay, Holstein's out. Well, no, he's not. He's playing. Pat Narduzzi told us. So I think Pitt goes out there and loses. All the football I know and have watched and the statistical analysis, everything tells me I think Pitt's going to win. But then Vegas tells me they're an 8-point dog. What do they know? They're smarter than me. I'm going with the people smarter than me. I think Pitt loses. And I think then it's an upward climb to try to make the college football playoff. We'll see if I'm wrong. If I'm right, we'll talk about it. If I'm wrong, we'll talk about it. That's the big game over the weekend that we'll be discussing on Monday morning. Excited to do that with you. Starkey up next. He'll have Donnie Football in here for 4 hours. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. Today, a high of 69.